Thank you, Prince, and thank you for the YM leaders for this opportunity. I never take it lightly when I get an opportunity to minister, facilitate, or do anything for God. And so I'm truly privileged to have your audience tonight. Like Prince said, this is a discussion, so it's not me talking to you, but all of you guys have something very deep. All of you guys have a certain relationship with God. All of you guys have different experiences. And so tonight, I want us to really have an engaging discussion. Whenever I pose a question, I really want to hear from as many of you as possible. Obviously, we're working with time, so I'll be managing that aspect of it. But I really want you guys to share experiences and what you know, because you never know. It could be the answer to someone's question. It could be the solution to someone's problem. And so just be available and allow God to use you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so tonight, as we all know, the subject or the topic that we're talking about is purpose and process, purpose and process. And so we will touch on purpose, to define purpose and understand what purpose means, and then we'll spend a lot of the time talking on the second aspect, which is process. But before we get into it, I'll just like to say a quick word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for tonight. Father, I pray, Lord God, for everyone on the line, including myself. We submit to you. We open up our hearts. We open up our spirits. If there be any, Lord, dull ears, we pray that you open them. If there be, Lord, any eyes that, Lord, can't see, Lord, we pray that you open, Lord, our spiritual eyes. We pray, Father God, that, Lord, tonight everyone will leave, oh God, with something, oh God, with an answer, with a solution, with, Lord, insight or revelation, oh God, to continue in your purpose, oh God. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, tonight we're talking about purpose and process for all who just joined. So I would like to throw out the first question. And we'll go about it this way. So I want everyone to, whoever's answering, just mention your name and then give your response, and we'll go about it that way. What is process? What is purpose? How would we define purpose? What is purpose to us?
The reason to do something.
Sorry, can you state your name first and then?
Oh, my name is Joshua, and purpose is the reason to do something.
The reason to do something, okay. Anyone else? I don't want to stop mentioning names, but you guys will make me stop mentioning names. I know Doctor, you're on the line. I know Asher, you're on the line. George, I believe you're on the line. All of the campus ministry students, I know you guys are on the line. So what is purpose? When we say purpose, what do we think purpose means?
Purpose is basically the reason for which something was created.
Mm. Purpose is the reason for which something was created. Okay. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Whoever turns there can read that for us, please. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Someone can read that for us.
Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Amen.
Amen. So, who are the two characters in this verse that we just read? Who are the two main characters in this verse that we just read?
God and Jeremiah.
Sorry, can you repeat that a little louder and state your name?
This is Richard, and God and Jeremiah.
Thank you. So we have God and we have Jeremiah. Okay. So Jeremiah is the one who's on the receiving end, right? And God is the one who is communicating this message to Jeremiah. Okay? So we said that the definition for purpose is the reason for which something was created. Okay? So now if we are looking at ourselves, okay, we're talking about purpose, our purpose. So if we're talking about the reason for which we were created, okay, then we see in this verse, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that response or that answer was coming from God. Okay, then ultimately, what are we saying? We're saying that to know your purpose or to know what your purpose, the reason why you were created, it must come from who?
God.
It must come from God. Okay. So the question I would ask next is, why is it that sometimes we find ourselves following what would seem as our own purpose? Why is it that sometimes we don't go to God for our purpose? We go to almost everyone and everything but going to God. Let me ask it this way. Why do we not know, if we don't understand our purpose on this earth, or we don't know our purpose, what's the reason for that?
This is Hello. Nana.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nana.
Yes. I'll take it from the first question that you asked. Why do we go to everyone but God? Probably because we feel people talk back to us, but we don't hear God talk directly back to us when we have a problem.
What are some other reasons why? So our sister Nana said, we hear other people talk back to us. When we go to a friend, when we go to maybe even our pastor, when we go to other people, they respond back and we're able to hear them. But seemingly when we talk to God, we don't hear back from him. And so that could be a reason why we don't go to God.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is George. I think it's because of fear. Fear of going through the process, the waiting period that God will pull you through. And so we want to hear from people who will tell us up front instead of going to God, because God has his own timing. And the purpose of which we were created, I don't know, I may be jumping ahead, but that's a process. So I think that's one of the reasons why.
Okay. So our brother is saying that one of the reasons why we don't go to God is because God, there's a process. When we go to God, God puts us through a process, and we'll get to that part. That's the latter part, but we'll get to that part. And so it's almost like he used the word fear, okay? So it's almost like you're afraid to go to God because you know that God will put you through a process, a waiting period. So that makes me believe that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that he's hinting at the fact that we are impulsive beings, right? We want to know something. We want to know it now. We want to know it all now. So that actually leads to my next question. Why doesn't God reveal the full picture of our, when it comes to our purpose? Why doesn't God reveal the full picture at the onset?
I think one of the, this is George. I think one of the reasons is for the sake of our relationship with him. If we were to go to God once and he was to tell us everything we're here to do on earth, show us that picture of everything, give us all the answers in one time that we meet with God, then it's as if we don't need God for the rest of the picture, for the rest of our lives. And so God is really concerned about our relationship with him, to do life with him, to do the process with him, as our brother was talking about. So it works kind of both ways. It's like for us, we can be impatient and want the whole thing. But for God, he's just saying, one day at a time, I'll open your eyes one day at a time, kind of a thing. And that can be kind of, as he was talking about, the struggle or the friction there that we may have.
Okay. So our brother George, thank you for that, George. So our brother George is saying that it would almost like be like we don't need God anymore. If God showed us everything right at the onset, it would almost be like we don't need to depend on him anymore because we know everything. We know we know everything up front, and so there's no need to continue to go to him. But God is so concerned and about our relationship with him, right? So he gives us a picture at a time, or he takes us through, as our brother said earlier, that process. Now let's turn to John chapter 15, if you will. Now I believe everyone got the picture, got the text with the reminder, and it shows the picture of the vine and the branches and the fruit. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. Okay. Let's turn to John chapter 15. And if someone can read from verse 1 to 6 for me, please. John chapter 15, from verse 1 to 6, please.
It reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he cannot do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Amen. All right, so these verses from 1 to 6 gives us a picture of our very topic, purpose and process. Okay, so we're going to navigate through these verses to understand what purpose means and to also glean from these verses the process in which we, in the process towards purpose. Okay, so a few things. So when we talk about purpose, okay, Bible uses a phrase, okay, in the verses we just read, there's a word that the Bible uses that we can equate it to the word process. What do we think that word is? And I'll give a little hint. So let's look at verse 2. When we're talking about process, what do we think that looks like in verse 2?
Prune.
Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
When it says he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so the word prune.
Okay. Do we see another word in there in verse 2 that talks to purpose? Now, remember we said you said that purpose is the reason for why something was created. So that means the end result, okay? Or the accomplishment or what that thing is supposed to do and accomplish.
Bears?
Bears what?
No fruit.
Okay. So verse 2, my version, the Living Translation says, he lops off or prunes off every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit. So when we talk about purpose, what are we essentially talking about? When Bible talks about purpose, what is it essentially talking about?
Bearing fruit.
Bearing fruit. Who was that?
Michael Kitcher.
Michael, thank you for calling. So the Bible talks, when the Bible uses the word, the phrase bear fruit, that's the picture we need to have in our mind when we think about purpose. Okay, so I want everyone to personalize that. Okay, as you're considering your purpose, okay, you need to ask yourself, am I bearing fruit? When you're bearing fruit, then you can make the bold statement that I am fulfilling my purpose. Okay. You can never, as a believer, make that statement that I am fulfilling my purpose if you're not producing any fruit. Because verse 1, Bible says that God the Father, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, he is the vine, and the Father is the gardener of the vine, okay? And he says that he prunes everything, and he says that he does that so that the branch, which is us, will do what? Will bear fruit. So purpose is directly linked to bearing fruit as a believer. So when we talk about bearing fruit, when we talk about purpose, let's jot this down. I hope everyone has a pen or something of that sort. When we talk about purpose, number one, we are addressing what you are called to do. Okay, the uniqueness, and this is unique to you. God has called everyone uniquely to do something, to accomplish something. So when we talk about purpose, number one, we're talking about what you are called to do or called to accomplish here on this earth. Number two, the people who you have been sent to serve. Okay, when we read Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Bible, God told him that I've ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Okay? So the people who you have been sent to serve, that could be your community around you, that could be your church, that can be YEM, okay? So the people around you, the people in your community, the people that God has called you to serve. And number three, the impact or the result of what you do or your service, aka bearing fruits. So what are the three? What's number one?
This is from Joshua, what we are called to do.
What we are called to do. What's number two? What's number two?
People we've been called to serve.
The people we've been called to serve. And what's number three?
The impact of your service.
The impact of your service. Or in other words, the fruit you produce, okay? So, sorry for the cough. So I want us, we have identified and defined purpose. So I want us to transition to the main part of our discussion. I want us just to set that stage and then identify and talk about what purpose is so that we're on the same page. Most of us who are on the campuses, you've already kind of gone through that teaching, and so I didn't want to spend too much time on that. But for those who aren't on campus, I wanted to make sure that you still benefit. So we've identified that, we have defined that. Now we want to move on to the meat of our discussion, and that is the process. Okay, we want.
Hello.
Yes. Who's this?
Ben.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the discussion. So we want to talk about the process. So when we talk about process, what does process mean to us? how do we define process in our own words? In relation to purpose, how do we define process?
The steps to fulfill the purpose.
Can you tell us who you are, please?
It's Joshua again.
Joshua. So you said what? The steps to fulfill the purpose?
Yeah.
Thank you. That he hit it right on the head. The steps in which we take to fulfill that purpose. Okay? The steps in which we fulfill to take that purpose. And so someone earlier, George and the other brother earlier, talked about the fact that that's one of the reasons why sometimes we don't go to God, because we know that it's a process and God will give us bits and pieces and it's a journey. And so sometimes we want it all now, okay? But we know that God is not necessarily going to give it to us all now, okay? So we want to understand that it's a process. So we want to go back to John chapter 15. If someone can read for me, John chapter 15, if someone can read for me from verse 5 to 6, please. Again, John chapter 15 from verse 5 to 6.
John 15, verse 5 to 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Amen.
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 So Jesus Christ is saying that when it comes to the process, there's a formula, okay? In other words, when it comes to the steps that you need to take in order to bear fruit, in order to accomplish what I've called you to accomplish, in order to fulfill your purpose, so that on the day of accountability, you can have something to show for what you've done here on earth. Okay? There would be nothing worse than doing so much and in your mind thinking that you're doing it for God. And on the day of accountability, God is saying, thank you for doing so much, but this is not what I called you to do. Right? You have a laundry list of things that you have done, but God says, but this is not really what I called you to actually do. But God is saying that we can avoid that from happening. God is saying that he's our Father. Jesus Christ is saying that he is the vine, okay? And he's saying that if we abide in him, so again, we're talking about the steps to purpose. So what does that mean when Jesus Christ says, if we abide in him? What does that mean, to abide in Jesus Christ? What does that mean to us? When Jesus Christ says, if you abide in me, what does that mean to us? What does that look like?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I think that it means if we remain connected to him, and just what he wants of us.
I think your line is breaking up. Can you say that a little louder, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, it's better now.
Okay, I said if we stay connected to him, and what he requires of us.
If we stay connected to him and what he requires of us. Who's this, please?
Kelly.
Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. So we'll take what Kelly said and we want to push it further. So for the rest of us on the line, what does that look like? What does that look like practically to be connected to him? To stay connected to Jesus, what does that mean?
To pray.
To pray. Okay. Can you elaborate on that? If I pray today and then my next prayer is 2 months from now, and then the next one is maybe a year from now. Am I connected?
No.
We must pray every day to God and ask for forgiveness.
Okay. We must pray every day to God and ask for forgiveness. How else can we stay connected? Now, everyone, all of us, okay, have a relationship with God. How are we staying connected to Jesus Christ? I want everyone to share because it's important. Some of us can pull from that. Maybe you'll share something that you do and it'll touch someone and someone will put that on their list on how to stay connected to Jesus. So how else do we stay connected to Jesus Christ?
Music, listening to gospel songs, and things that put you into the spirit.
Listening to gospel songs. Thank you for that, Joshua. So Joshua said, listen to gospel songs and things that put you in, connect you to the spirit. So I would assume you're saying basically worshiping God, right? Being in an environment of worship. Okay. How else? What are some other things that we do to stay connected to Jesus Christ?
By being nice to others, because Jesus is in everyone.
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
By being nice to others, because Jesus is in everyone.
Okay. By being nice to others, because Jesus is in everyone. Thank you so much for that contribution. I would just like to shed a little light onto that. We really appreciate that comment. What I would say to that is that Jesus is in those who have received Him as His Lord and Savior. Okay, so if you have not received Christ, and we'll do an altar call at the end, but I'm glad that you raised that point. If to be even connected to the vine, your first step is to what? To be born again. Your first step is to be born again. And so you must first, to have Jesus Christ in you, you must first be a child of God. Okay? Before the worship and the prayer and all that stuff, your first step is to be connected to Jesus Christ in the sense that you are a child of God. And if there's anyone on the line who hasn't taken that first step, we will address that at the end, okay? But in the context of this discussion, we want to talk about those, we're talking in the context of those who are believers, those who are children of God, okay? And in finding out our purpose and then working through that process to get to our purpose, okay? So what are some other ways that we stay connected to Jesus Christ?
Reading
the scriptures. Okay. Let me ask a question about reading the scriptures. How do we read the scriptures? Practically, how do we read the scriptures? Do we read kind of one verse and then pray with it? Do we meditate? Do we practice meditating on it? How do we read the scriptures? And then how do we apply the scriptures to our lives?
I think it's very easy to, like, just wake up in the morning and read, like, a verse of the day and then go about your day. But, like, taking the one step and also meditating on it, like you would do, like, when you get a text from someone, to just meditating on it and then thinking about how you can apply it, like, in your day would be, like, another step further.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So she said, meditating on it. So she said it's very easy to just read it and go. We live in a society, in a very busy society where it's just, you know, quick, quick, quick. I want bite-sized pieces and then just go, be on my way, on to the next thing. But she said meditate, okay? When Joshua became the leader of the Israelites and took over after Moses died, God told him something. He says, meditate on the laws of God. Meditate on God's word. Okay, he didn't say just read it, but he said meditate on it. Okay, because meditate is the avenue or is the bridge between knowing God's word and applying God's word. Right? So meditation on God's word is the bridge between knowing God's word and applying God's word. And so when you fail to meditate on God's word, literally sit there and continue to repeat the word, God's word, and let it, allow it to soak in your mind. Ask God, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean to me personally? What does this mean in the context of what I'm reading? How can I apply it to my life? That's when you transition from just knowing the word and applying the word. Okay. So I wanted to turn to, we've shared some very good things, and most of us are hitting it right on the head, but there's something that God laid on my heart that I really want to bring our attention to. So this will be a benefit for those who maybe we are already kind of taking the steps that are necessary to get to our purpose. And it will also benefit those who are not yet taking that step or are not yet really in the process of getting to our purpose. Okay, maybe we know our purpose. Maybe we have an idea of what our purpose is, but we're not really allowing God or we're not following God in order to go through that process, to take the necessary steps to accomplish our purpose. And so if we can turn to Psalm 119, and I'm going to read from the Living Bible, so TLB version, and I'll read for the sake of time, Psalm 119, verse 18 to 20. And if you're doing work and you're multitasking, I'll just ask you that for the last few minutes, if you could just put a pause on it and just really focus in on this. I know some of you guys are saying, oh man, why did you just say that? But I just ask you that for the last 10 minutes, if you could just focus in on the call, okay? If some of you guys are multitasking. Psalm 119 from verse 18 to 20. Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it says, open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful things in your word. I am but a pilgrim here on earth. How I need a map and your commands. David uses the word commands. Okay, this is David saying this. And you can substitute that word commands with the word of God or the Bible. How I need a map, and your word are my chart. Your words are my chart and guide. I long for your instructions more than I can tell. So I'll pick up from verse 19. It says, I am but a pilgrim here on earth. Okay? What's a pilgrim? Who's a pilgrim?
Who are you passing through?
A stranger.
A stranger, okay, someone new, thank you, excellent, a bright student, so someone who is new to a place, right, a foreigner, so God is bringing our attention to the fact that sometimes, subconsciously, we think that we are living here at home, on earth. As a believer, this is not your home, you're in a foreign land. Okay, we are in a foreign land, and we have something that we are supposed to accomplish. That is our purpose, and God has given us this purpose. You cannot know your purpose outside of God. Okay, so and you cannot achieve your purpose outside of God. So he says that you must abide in me. Okay, and so he's saying that we are pilgrims here on earth. Okay, and how we need a map. When you're going somewhere that you've never been, you need a GPS to get you around because you don't know where to turn. You don't know where to go. So he says, I need a map. And then he tells us what that map looks like. He says, and your commands or your word are my chart and my guide. They tell me to take left at the fork. They tell me to take right. Okay? They tell me to take advantage of this YEM ministry. They tell me, okay, that when I've been given a role in campus ministry, that I must make sure I say yes to it, that I must do it with all my heart, because that is an opportunity God has given me. And so when I stay connected to Jesus Christ and such an opportunity comes, okay, I'm able to bear fruit. I'm able to win more souls for Christ. I'm able to teach the word of God to people. I'm able to draw people to Christ, okay? And so my fruits become evident because I've found myself in my purpose, because I've connected myself with the word of God. And the word of God has guided me
Okay? So the first thing, when Bible says that we must abide in him, when Jesus Christ says that we must abide in the vine, and he says, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so everyone on this line, make up your mind that if you don't abide in Christ, you can do nothing. And so that means that your continuous, okay, your day-to-day abiding in Christ, not your monthly abiding, not your every so often abiding, but you, the way you abide in Christ is directly related to the fruits that you will bear and what you will produce and what you will show to Christ as, this is what I did when I was here on earth. And so the first way we can stay connected to the vine is, number one, through the word of God. So he says that I need a map, and your word is my chart and my guide. Number two, prayer. There was once upon a time, if we can turn to Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. Once upon a time, the disciples realized that this guy Jesus, his ministry is directly related to how much this guy prays. That the power, the anointing upon this guy's life and what he's able to do, there's a connection to how much he prays. So they asked him, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will, in other words, your purpose for my life be done. So Jesus Christ says, Jesus Christ connected prayer to purpose. He said, for your purpose to be actualized, you must do what? What must we do?
Pray.
We must pray. And not just pray, but abide in prayer. So the key here is that everything we talk about, Jesus Christ is not bringing our, this is not something we don't already know. But what Jesus Christ is bringing our attention to is the fact that we need to abide in prayer. Abide is a daily, continuous thing. We need to graduate and move from the once in a while. You know, oftentimes, when I get to go to the campus ministries, I'll often ask them, oh, how is your relationship with Christ going? How is your daily word? How is your prayer life? You know, and just from those questions, I can sense whether or not someone is abiding in Christ. There's a difference between being a child of God and being in Christ and abiding in Christ. Okay, abiding is a continuous process. Abiding is a growth thing, okay? When the word abiding is connected to the word growth, okay? Because as soon as you cut it off, as soon as you stop, as soon as it's stifled, then growth stops. And so if you want to achieve your purpose, if you want to get to that place, Jesus Christ said you must pray. You must continuously pray for your purpose. You must continually pray that, God, your will be done. And so for us who are not praying daily about our purpose, for us who are not praying daily, saying, God, may your will for my life be done here on earth before I leave this earth, you're only shortchanging yourself. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to stop depending on YEM leaders. We will continue to pray for your purpose, but God is asking you to stop relying on them to pray for your purpose, but for you to stand up and pray for your own purpose. Because on that day, you will be the one that will be held accountable for your purpose, whether you fulfilled it or not. Because God will always hold his end of the bargain. As long as you abide in him, he has promised you that you will grow, that you will bear the fruit, that you will achieve your purpose. So the second thing is prayer. Abiding, daily prayer. It's a daily necessity, daily prayer. The third thing, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse... I'm reading from verse 2 to 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. It says, one night Eli... This is talking about Samuel, who was the prophet of Israel. It says, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out Samuel, Samuel. And for those who know this story, you know that this was the beginning of Samuel's life and calling. This was the beginning of Samuel's calling, okay? God started to
from this day forward, Samuel transitioned from just being someone who served in God's house to become the prophet of the whole nation of Israel. But it all started from a place called service. It all started from a place called service. The Bible says that Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. That stands for the Ark of God, stands for the presence of God. Okay, it was a symbol, it was something that they built back in the days of the Israelites, and it stood for God's presence. The Bible says that Samuel stayed by the presence of God. In other words, he stayed connected to the vine. He stayed connected to the vine. He stayed connected to his creator. And so one day, God called him and said, Samuel, it's time. For some of you, it's time. Your time is coming. Your time is coming. For some of you, you've already started. But you're allowing too many different things. You're starting to digress. You're starting to slowly pull away from the word. It's not a day-to-day necessity anymore. And so today, God wants to address our attitude towards him, our attitude towards our purpose, our attitude towards abiding in the vine. Are we just reading God's word because it's an instruction, or have we moved, transitioned from a place from instruction to a place of adoration, affection? Do we love and enjoy to read God's word? Do we love and enjoy to pray, to abide in his presence? When was the last time that you felt God's presence when it was just you and God? When was the last time that you heard from God yourself about your purpose? And so tonight, God wants to just remind us, and I thank you for those who shared, and even those who are on the line, God wants to remind us about, number one, that we have a purpose, and that our purpose can only be known by him. He is the one who will tell us our purpose. He created us, and he knows why he called us on this earth. And his expectation is that we'll bear fruit, or in other words, fulfill our purpose. Number two, he's reminding us that there's a process to that. There are some steps we need to take in order to get to that. And there's an attitude we need to have in those steps we take. If there's someone on this line and you've been given opportunities in this ministry, in YEM, and you know in your heart that you've taken it for granted, you're just doing it, treating it anyhow, tonight I plead with you that you'll resign that attitude and pick up a zeal, a new attitude, knowing that in order for you to get to your purpose, you must take these steps. You must abide in the word of God. You must abide in daily prayer. You must abide in God's presence and serving him. Anything that God calls you to do, you do it with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind. Do we have any questions before we launch into quick prayer?
I just want to say thank you, Uncle.
Me too.
No problem at all. I was blessed by your comments also. So we just want to launch into a 1 minute prayer, 1 or 2 minutes, very quickly, and then we'll turn it over to Prince. Now, when I was preparing for this, I just really felt that God is calling us all to a place of to a heart change, okay? To a heart change. An attitude change about the work of God. An attitude change about our personal relationship with God. An attitude change about how we even study God's word. An attitude change, a heart change about our prayer life. An attitude and heart change about our service to God. The steps to purpose. We are going to lift up our voice, and I want to hear everyone's voice. You're praying that God, change my attitude, change my mentality. God, make me hungry for your word again. God, make me hungry for your word again. God, make me hungry for your word again. God, may I change my attitude and perspective about my service to you.
For in those things I will achieve my purpose. For in those things I will reach my destiny. For in those things I will accomplish that which you have called me to. We are praying, O God, for a heart change. We are praying for an attitude change. Lord, we are praying, O God, in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you will help us to abide in prayer. You will help us to abide in prayer. You will help us, O God, to abide in our service. We pray in the name of
God,
Jesus,
abide in you, O God.
We pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that you should change, O God, our perspective. That you change our heart, O God. Lord, may we not be afflicted, O God, as we are, but out of love, in the name of Jesus, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God, out of love, Lord Jesus, I pray, O God, that you should change, O God. May we not do things, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God, Lord, because, O God, sometimes we want to do it, because, O God, we feel Father, we thank you, O God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder. Father, we thank you that we understand what purpose is. We understand that, Lord, we must bear fruit and bear much fruit. We thank you that you've made us understand that, Lord, we will have to produce fruit, O God. We will have to show something to you on that day of accountability.
Yes.
And your expectation, O God, is that, Lord, we will show that fruit. But, Lord, we thank you that you've shown us the steps to get to that. We thank you that you've, Lord, shown us that we must abide in you. It must be a daily abiding. A daily abiding in your word, a daily abiding in prayer, a daily abiding in our service to you. We thank you that you've reminded us about a heart change and an attitude change. May we not look at it as a rule that we must follow, but may we transition to, Lord, something that, Lord, we love to do, something that we adore to do, something that we enjoy to do, something that becomes a part of who we are. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Wow, wow. Amen.
What a night. What a night. What a night. What a night.
Amen.
I don't think, I'm not sure if everyone really appreciates what has gone on tonight. But literally, what our brother with C just did is to show you not that you have a purpose, because you already know that. But he showed you, or he showed all of us, how to discover our purpose. And so he, through the discussion, he has broken it down and said that we have to abide in God. Go back to God in prayer, so you know why he called you, why you are here at such a time like this.
And then he also said that start serving. For a lot of us, we are waiting for, we are waiting to be called, what's called the next bishop, the next apostle, before we start knowing that okay, this is our purpose. But what Oti was sharing with us is that wherever you are, start doing something. Because purpose is also process. And as you follow the process of service, you will end up being where God wants you to be eventually. Does everybody understand it in a nutshell? So whatever you are doing, wherever you are, start doing something. Whatever you have been assigned to do, start doing it. Some of you too, in the time of prayer, when you are abiding, God will be instructing you to do things. Oh, maybe start a club in this school. Maybe start doing this at your church. Maybe start serving in the youth ministry. Start doing this by gradually following the things you hear through your personal time with God. You will end up being where God wants you to be. And I think that is very, very powerful. That is very, very powerful. And so we bless our brother for breaking it down to show us the how to discover God's purpose. And so after tonight, you shouldn't be concerned, am I in God's will? Am I fulfilling God's purpose? Just start doing something that you like to do. Start finding something right now. And keep praying. Keep studying God's word. As you study God's word, you'll be seeing certain things like soul winning. You don't have to know that. You have to know some great purpose. All of us, our purpose is to win souls. So start from there. From there, start inviting people to church. Start inviting people to meetings. Why are you in meetings? Those are the first steps to discovering your purpose. And we bless God for that. Sorry about the time. You guys know that you don't meet in person. And so we try to like put everything together when we meet like this. And so please bear with us. Few announcements and we will be done in a minute. God willing, those in Boston, we are having campus meeting at Suffolk University. So if you're around there, I believe you can pass by. There are flyers all around. Please follow us on social media to get updates like this, right? If you go to YE Ministry on IG or Snapchat or Twitter, you'll find us. Facebook is Youth Empowerment Ministry. Follow us so that you can get updates of our conference calls and all that. Now, there are some of you, you have not been reading the blog post. But the blog post is actually very intentional, especially the upcoming ones, right? So if you want to know how to fulfill what God has called you to do, because that is the most important thing, please start reading the blog post. Start reading the blog post, and we should be good. And then, God willing, December 25th is a Thursday night. I because of time, I might not be able to talk about it, but you can hear it in my voice already that I cannot wait for December 26th. It's a Thursday night and it's prayer investment. So you don't sound excited. You don't sound like you are happy to be a prayer investment. But God willing, Thursday night, I will see you and I will meet you on December 26th for us to pray into 2020. Amen.
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 So please put it on your calendar. Thursday night, December 26th. I can't wait to be at that prayer room just to invest prayer into my future. Now, if you're on the line and you're not giving your life to Christ, this is Youth Empowerment Ministry. We are not just another youth group. We are very intentional. We believe that God has called us to do this. But for you to be empowered, the starting point is for you to give your life to Christ. And so it doesn't matter we have spent a lot of time on the line. Maybe for someone, the next minute, this is the determining factor between whether you are going to hell or heaven. This is the determining factor between whether you are going to continue in the sins or your sins should be forgiven and it shall not be remembered anymore. And so wherever you are, please join us as we say these words. Believe in your heart that Christ has died for you. And so if you can say these words, even if you have given your life to Christ, just for the sake of those who are doing it for the first time, say these words after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe you came to die for me.
I believe you came to die for me.
And I believe on the third day you resurrected.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me my sins.
Forgive me my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
From tonight, I believe that because you came to die.
From tonight, I believe that because you came to die.
I am now a child of God.
I am now a child of God.
I call you my Lord.
I call you my Lord.
And I call you my Master.
And I call you my Master.
From tonight, I declare that I am born again. And from tonight, I declare that I am part of God's family.
And from tonight, I declare that I am part of God's family.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you said this prayer for the first time, you are born again and now you are part of the family of God. You have been taken from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus. And so, please reach out to whoever invited you. Tell them that you said this prayer, you made that confession. And now, let us start staying in touch by giving you materials and resources that you can grow in the Lord. We apologize for the time. We went 15 minutes above. But this is very important, and that is why we have to take our time for that. If you need the recording for this discussion or any other messages from previous meetings, please reach out to us, whoever invited you, or go to our social media, DM us. Let us send you the link to the audio. Thank you guys so much. Please attend campus meetings for the month of November, and we will definitely meet on December 25th. It's the Thursday after Christmas. So you cannot forget that. That Thursday night is our Thursday, and you know how you do it. God will be there, and so I cannot wait to see you. Have a blessed night, and have a wonderful rest of the month.
Bye.
Have a blessed month of November. God bless you. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.